You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Abby.
It is game week. Has a good ring to it, huh? College game week. Great to have you aboard. It is a gym class here at KGYM, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. And check them out online at dupaco.com. You can go to kgymradio.com for more information as well. Scott Unash with you. Ben on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, will join us coming up here in a couple of moments. Good show for you. Mike Colas from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, sports columnist, will join us. We'll take a look ahead to the important opener for the Iowa Hawkeyes. We'll take a look ahead to UNI and Iowa State going at it. Maybe a look back at the weekend, especially what happened in Champaign with Mike. We will talk about that coming up with you in a moment as well. 319-366-1600. That is our text line available to you. You can pick up the phone and give us a call as well at 319-366-1600 as we got a great show coming your way today. And you're tuned in on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. In Iowa City, it's 106.3 FM, as well as your KGYM radio stream, KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker as well. As we mentioned, Mike Colas will join us and plenty to talk about and discuss with Mike. And we will do that coming up here in just a little bit. As Mark joins me from the Southwest side on a very, very nice Monday in late August here as we get into the last couple of days of this month. And the great month of September is coming up starting on Wednesday. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, certainly a lot more pleasant than it was when we had the scorcher the end of last week. But, really looking forward to week one. We had week zero of the college football season. But week one, assembled the games we're going to do on the pick six this coming Friday, and really a lot of good ones, Scott. Looking forward to it.
Yep, going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, the pick six is back for you. Chance to win a gift certificate from Emil's Hideaway, and we'll hear from Emil's Hideaway coming up toward the bottom of the hour with our Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. But another chance to win, you and myself and our friend Dave from Emil's will be picking games, and we'll have three of our listeners tag along, and whichever one of the I don't want to say celebrities. We're not celebrities. Dave's a celebrity, but whichever of the prognosticators comes up with the best record, if you hitch your wagon to them, you're going to get a gift certificate from Emil's. It's that simple.
Well, Dave is a celebrity. He's told me that after missing last year, he said, wherever he goes each and every week, people say something to him about his picks, and good or bad and different. Dave's a celebrity, no question about it.
There is not a doubt. Not a doubt about it. 319-366-1600, and that'll be coming up on the Friday edition of the program. As we look forward to that. The NFL preseason is in the books, and you get the usual wave of a few somewhat big names let go, which is starting a little bit. A couple of minor trades today as well. Shock Lawson is one of those going, I believe. And people put on various lists, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of things to discuss, including some Big Ten football that got underway, over the weekend. As Illinois and Nebraska went at it, we'll get to that coming up in a little bit as we talk about the weekend that was in the world of sports. But I think, Mark, you know, it's a toss-up because Illinois and Nebraska is right in our backyard. We're kind of betwixt and between those two. But I tell you what, I think the sports world's still buzzing over what happened and what took place and occurred yesterday outside of Baltimore. The real classic showdown, two-man duel in more ways than one between Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Cantlay at the BMW Championship and the FedEx Cup playoffs and the PGA Tour. It was simply amazing golf, even though I'm not a fan of finishing 27 under par in a big tournament. But, you know, that's just the way it goes sometimes. But boy, did they give us some theater and some drama, and both with their golf and not with their golf.
Well, rarely have I've been watching golf a long time, but and maybe my memory is short, but I kept saying to myself, man, this is an instant classic. Patrick Cantlay nails a putt to extend a hole. DeChambeau hits a tee shot in the water, drops, and hits a shot within 6 or 7 feet and makes par and extends the match and on and on and on. And Cantlay eventually won it with about a 20-foot putt. And then came some fireworks afterwards. Bryson DeChambeau, not happy, mainly with himself, I think, but certainly losing on the sixth playoff hole when he had the guy that shot 60 during the tournament and didn't win. A fan, as DeChambeau was walking kind of briskly to the clubhouse, he wanted to just get the hell out of there. But a fan said, nice job, Brooksy, referring to the feud with Brooks Koepka and whatnot. And DeChambeau used an expletive towards the heckler and wanted him removed, him or her, I assume it's him, from the grounds. I don't see why nice job, Brooksy, would be grounds to be, the tournament's over anyway, but correct. Nevertheless, and DeChambeau didn't talk to more than a couple members of the media, as he's done for weeks. So DeChambeau not exactly endearing himself to a lot of people. And frankly, he invited that heckler's comment with his feud with Brooks Koepka, at least partially so. But as far as the golf itself, it was the playoff was tremendous. The drama for the top 30 was amazing, I thought. It was good to see Patrick Reed, like him or not, get into the field at number 30, thanks to K.H. Lee's blunder on the 18th hole on ultimate bogey. But Reed had to sit out because he had double pneumonia and couldn't play. But he just squeezed in to Eastlake, and that was kind of good to see as well. But it was fun to watch, Scott.
It was fun to watch. 319-366-1600 as we come your way on the Monday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. And, Patty Ice now, by the way. little bulldog, and Patrick Cantlay is really good player, really good, underrated, and maybe probably not underrated now, leading the FedEx Cup, going to Atlanta in the Tour Championship, where he will have a lead. He already has a lead, Mark. It's nice to have that. You and I and every golf purist around absolutely hate the way they do the Tour Championship, but we're not going to change it. It is the way it is. And he starts off at 10 under par, which, whatever. It is what it is. And like I say, we're not going to change it. But a guy could shoot 26 under par in 4 days on one of the toughest golf courses in the United States and not win, which is not right. But I digress. Cantlay's a good player. And then you had Bryson and Cantlay kind of bickering during the playoff about Patrick. Bryson got a little angry that Patrick was still walking as he was preparing, et cetera, et cetera. Little gamesmanship, perhaps. Patrick Cantlay's not really known for that too much. I think he was just moving around, trying to get in position and trying to get ready for his shot. But like I said, Bryson is a very interesting individual. And this guy is, you know, whether you like him or hate him, he is polarizing. There's no doubt about that. And he's just a guy that is really hard to read, not from week to week, from minute to minute, basically. I think Bryson DeChambeau is so hard to read. I mean, one minute he's You know, he's playing in the match with Phil and raising money for charity all over the place. He's going to enter the National Long Drive contest because he can and try to win that against some guys that, you know, specialize in hitting 480-yard drives or whatever the case may be. And then you got the Bryson that's, you know, yelling at people. You got the Bryson that's yelling at Patrick Cantlay for moving a little bit. He's a very unique individual.
I think by and large, everything I've read and heard, I read a story on ESPN earlier this morning about when DeChambeau was first coming out, and the writer wanted to get to know him a little bit better. And DeChambeau invited the writer to his house, spent a couple days with him, just opened up about a whole lot of things. That was early in his career. But right now, as things have developed, I still think he's got a pretty good attitude about himself. But situations like this, I think he needs to develop a harder shell, especially when it comes to the Brooks Koepka thing. For a while there, he thought it was funny and this and that. But he can go snapping at fans at the conclusion of a round, I don't think.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. A few golf tweets, texts coming in, I should say, here. Let's see. 04. No, let's check that. 1954. Who will they pair Bryson with at the Ryder Cup? I know one they won't. Although, you know what? Some people in the golf world are saying it would be a good match, though. A good pairing with Bryson and Brooks, but we're beyond that. There is no way those two can play on the same fairway with one another. But that would be must-see television, wouldn't it? You think the PGA of America and the PGA Tour and golf in general want to have great... The only way to outdo the NFL for the Ryder Cup is going to be to put Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau together. It's not going to happen. I don't know who Bryson's going to be with. That is a great question. Probably not going to be Patrick Cantlay now. They're going to have to find somebody. They're going to have to find somebody that's going to play with him.
Well, I think Brooks and Bryson would be a tremendous pairing if all this other stuff wasn't going on. But it's not going to happen. They'll figure out some pairing that will be comfortable for DeChambeau and his partner. I think that's the least of America's worries. They ought to be more worried about the European side because it's going to be very strong. There's no question about it. 69-36 on the text line. Did Zach Johnson do enough this year to keep his pro card? I know he didn't have the best year. I believe he did do enough.
Yes.
To keep his card. And he's always had, there's a stipulation. There's so many qualification standards. Career money. You need to rank in the top whatever of career money. And Zach has that card to play should he need it because he's well within whatever the threshold is for career money.
Also 1954 saying Finau. Everybody gets along with Tony Finau.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't like Tony Finau, boy, I feel bad for you. Or, you know, Schauffele, possibly. I mean, Schauffele is a very quiet guy, doesn't say a whole lot. I think that they would be a good pairing. Finau may be the guy. Finau may be the guy. We'll see. We'll see. Some captain's picks that are going to be made are going to be some very interesting picks. Phil is trying to get on the team. Would you put Phil on the team, Mark? Would you put Phil on the Ryder Cup team?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay. Not even the, he's not an intimidating guy anymore. He's not the Tiger at age 44 intimidating guy, right?
He's not the player he once was, even though he won a recent major. He didn't make it to the top 30 for Eastlake. Certainly has more experience than anybody out there probably. But this, I think there's better younger players who could and should make this team.
If he plays, and I'd have to double check if he's on the team, but I got to think if he's healthy, he's going to be a very good, make a very good case to be a captain's pick, and that is Patrick Reed. I could see Patrick Reed and Bryson together. And remember, Patrick's not the most loved person either.
Not at all. No. He is Captain America.
He is Captain America, though. And we'll see. We'll see. 319-366-1600. Thank you, 0333, for that. Appreciate it. 3153, Bryson needs to read putts a little better. Well, it's not from lack of trying and not for lack of time reading the putt. I'm going to say that. As far as Bryson DeChambeau is concerned, but golf was tremendous over the weekend, just tremendous over the weekend. And I think they're going to have a very good finish as far as the Tour Championship over at East Lake in Atlanta is concerned coming up. 20 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, 319-366-1600. As we take you through the Monday edition of the Gym Class, Mike Halas will join us coming up in just a little bit. Yes, Reed and Bryson would be like the Pistons, the Bad Boys, or the heel WWE tag team. Who's going to want to play them? I think it'd be a good pairing. I'm for Team Reed and DeChambeau now.
Start the campaign.
I'm going to start the campaign. I'm going to start the campaign right there. All right. Also from the weekend, we got to go back to Saturday. Big Ten getting underway as Illinois beats Nebraska by 8 at Memorial Stadium in Champaign, holding on, a little bit holding on toward the end of that football game as the Illini win their opener for Brett Bielema. And unfortunately for the Big Red fans, the beat goes on. Oh, dear. Saturday evening, just reading everything out of the state of Nebraska, Mark. Oi. Oi, oi, oi. There's not a lot of love for Scott Frost right now. And you can imagine why, with the Huskers getting off to an 0-1 start, with everything that has gone wrong as far as the Frost era is concerned. I think you can get some Frost warning signs for a very, very good price right now. Let's just put it that way, because at times Nebraska looked not only bad, but out of sorts, to be honest with you. And clock management toward the end of that game was very shoddy, to be honest. Just not a lot of things went real well as far as Nebraska is concerned, except for a big Adrian Martinez run on a broken play, if you will. To get them a little bit closer. But Illinois does that with a backup quarterback, with Peters out early, and Sitkowski, the former Rutgers Scarlet Knight who wins Big Ten Player of the Week honors as the Offensive Player of the Week from week number one. Of course, it was only one game, so you got a pretty good chance if you're the winning team to get it. But you would have made pretty good money if you said that that young man was going to win Big Ten Player of the Week going into the week.
Yeah, probably didn't think he was going to leave the bench in that game until Peters got hurt. But how about Brett Bielema? Everybody's piling on Scott Frost, but I think Brett Bielema deserves a lot of credit for getting this Illinois team ready to go. And you know, coming out of the chute 1-0 is the goal for everybody. Bielema's team got it done. I think Nebraska just had some inexplicable type mistakes, and mental and otherwise, that it may not commit the rest of the year. I don't know. But interesting poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his team, as always. Which team finishes with more wins this season, Illinois or Nebraska? Go ahead and vote KGYMRadio.com. And I think the reason I think it's a good question is examine the schedules of the two teams. I mean, Nebraska has a very difficult back end of the schedule. Illinois has to play Oklahoma in the non-conference season. It's a tough call, I think. And as I was talking to our friend Dave Alec today, he reminded me that you're never as good as you look or as bad as you look, depending on what side of the ledger you fall on in that first game.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, a lot of things are going to change from even week one to week two. It's the oldest adage as far as football is concerned. You're going to make your most improvement and jump from week one to week two. Illinois, and we said this last week, Illinois has players. They got some decent talent. I mean, Lovie Smith didn't do a bad job as far as recruiting is concerned. And if Bielema can put him in the right spots and get everything out of that team, a bowl game could be possible for the Illini. I mean, they showed me anyway that you cannot take them lightly. There are going to be better days, I think, as far as Nebraska is concerned, but you got Oklahoma in the offing, and you've got the rest of the Big Ten schedule, and you're already behind the eight ball a little bit if you're Scott Frost. By the way, it was good to see Oliver Martin get a lot of playing time and get some catches in that game, punt returns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, for the former Iowa City West product. So that was nice to see anyway. But I would not want to be it's going to be a tough year unless things turn around in Lincoln for Scott Frost.
Yeah, I echo that on Oliver Martin. That was good to see. I don't know if it's a record, but might be the only player in Big Ten history to score for three different institutions.
Could be.
Iowa, Michigan, and Nebraska. And by the way, Department of Corrections, I misspoke. I said Illinois has to play Oklahoma, and no, it's Nebraska. I knew that. Sometimes you just slip, Scott, you know?
Yeah.
But always correct yourself. Always correct yourself. But, yeah, it was good to see with Oliver Martin. And Nebraska fans are not going to be happy and shouldn't be until this program gets back on the winning side of the ledger in the bowl games and whatnot. I just don't know how soon it's going to happen.
Yeah, very true. 319-366-1600, 326. We're going to talk to Mike Colas in just a little bit, but we're going to bring in our friend Joel from Muscatine, joining us here on a Monday edition of the program. And sorry you did not enjoy your trip to Marion a little bit better on Friday night, Joel.
Oh, it's always good to get up to that press box. It's a nice one. We're christening our brand new stadium and press box in Muscatine this week. So you'll
looks
have to come
nice.
Down sometime and check that
it,
out.
It looks nice. I saw it on Twitter. The field looks great.
Yeah, it's going to be good. But what's not good is the vibe in Lincoln. As you guys know, I went to college in Sioux City, so as you can imagine, I have a lot of Cornhuskers in my life as well. And the latest and greatest conspiracy theory is that this is an inside job from Kirk Ferentz, and Eric Chenander is intentionally tanking as the Nebraska defensive coordinator to lower the status of the program to benefit the Iowa Hawkeyes. So that is a legitimate theory that was shared by more than four people with me this weekend. So it is apparently has some legs. It's hysterical how irrational that group is, and it couldn't happen to a better program to see the struggles. So hopefully Iowa does their business with them at the end of the season, because it doesn't matter how crappy they do. If they beat Iowa, it makes it for a long year for the rest of us. But man, it was fun to see Illinois. And like you said, that cupboard's not completely bare in Illinois. And unfortunately, they have a fantastic coach now. So I'm nervous about the Illini in the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, if they can get pick the recruiting up even more, maybe get into Chicago a little bit more than they have been, it's going to help.
They're on the BYU plan with 21 super seniors. They have 21 guys, 23 and over on your team. That's NFL players playing college football. So,
true. Very true.
As far as just physiology is concerned.
So. Joel,
all right.
Thanks. Appreciate
thanks,
it. Always great to hear from Joel, and always great to hear some wild theories flying out of Lincoln.
Yeah, the conspiracy theory, there might have been some tequila involved and Joel's little group there. I don't know.
319-366-1600 here at 329. Bottom line, though, is Illinois is off to a 1-0 start, both the season and as far as the Big Ten is concerned. And Illinois hung on. They played a little bit not to lose that game toward the end, Mark, and it almost cost them a little bit. But still, good job by the Illini. And as Joel mentioned, that cupboard is not bare. They do have some weapons. They do have some weapons, and they are not going to be an easy out in the Big Ten West this year.
Yeah, Illinois and many other teams are really going to benefit by this extra year that many players have chosen to take. Some haven't, but many have. And that's going to bolster the experience of many an outfit. And Joel correctly pointed it out. Illinois is one of them.
David and Hudson, Martinez is the same quarterback as he was when he got to Lincoln. And yes, 64-29, we will get to Bishop Sycamore before the end of the program here today. Do need to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard right now, though, at 3:30. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, and they're located on First Avenue. And that is across from the Lindale Mall, First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's. And what's the scoreboard look like today?
Only one game this afternoon. It is a makeup game taking part at Comerica Park in Detroit. They are on the top of the ninth inning, the Twins leading 3-2 over the Tigers. Everything else under the lights. As far as the scoreboard goes, Jessica Himes, former Prairie and UNI athlete, finished fifth in the Paralympic Games discus competition. In the last 24 hours, she was fifth overall, but set two American records during the competition, and was in her a couple different categories. I don't want to get too complicated, but two categories were combined in terms of athletes with lower limb amputations and whatnot. This year, they combined the two, but Jessica would have been a gold medalist had they just had the one division. But congratulations to her. Great performance, and we wish her well going forward. Tonight, Mark Farley will decide on his starting quarterback for this coming Saturday's Iowa State game. He is on record as saying he will choose between returning starter Will McIlvaine and Michigan State transfer Theo Day. So that'll come up tonight, Scott.
Yep, that'll be interesting to see who's going to start. And we've got Iowa State and UNI coming up this Saturday on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. 1:30 will be the broadcast time with John Walters, Eric Heft, and the rest of the crew from Ames. Take a break, come back. Mike Halas will join us, and we'll talk about that game. We'll talk Iowa-Indiana. Michael Penix is 100% and ready to go, according to the Indiana folks that talked to the media today. So we'll talk about that game and more when we return. You're listening to The Gym Class on KGYM.
There was a time when you knew the name of the grocer, the banker, and the tailor. Simpler days when a rotary telephone was the most advanced communication device anyone had. That's the world Hertin and Stocker Jewelers opened its doors to back in the 1940s. A bustling downtown with friends stopping in to browse, buy, or just say hello. And no matter how busy a shop might be, you were always warmly greeted and well taken care of. Willa Dickens began working with customers in those distant days, and he raised his boys Terry and Tim to understand that it was the way you made people feel that genuinely made a difference. You'll sense it when you step into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. Even though you'll be surrounded by today's most beautiful jewelry, you'll recognize the lost art of service that has been carefully maintained. Come see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. And be sure to stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
With BetMGM, anyone can capture that Grand Slam championship feeling. Step on the court with the King of Sportsbooks for a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 wager on any player to win the big tournament in Queens, New York. If a player serves an ace during the tournament, you'll win $100 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code HANSON100, H-A-N-S-O-N 100, when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Sign up now, and you'll unlock access to BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSON100, Hanson with an O, to win $100 in free bets if any player serves an ace in New York. Enjoy the ultimate tennis fan experience at BetMGM. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Would you rather pay for software just once or every month forever? Then make sure your business is ready for the next Microsoft licensing change, or you could be switched to a monthly charge and there'll be no going back. Network Computer Solutions can get you upgraded on time so you can beat those monthly fees. But contact them right away to get on their schedule. Go to ncsei.com. Friendly local Network Computer Solutions.
We welcome you back at 3:35. It is the Gym Class coming your way here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on this Monday. Coming up on Friday, the Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They will be down in Coralville at Fry Fest, the 12th annual edition of Fry Fest. Hard to believe, but that is the case. Hawkeye pep rally, panel discussions, what have you, autograph sessions, and a whole lot more. You can also stop by the booth, see Todd and Alex, you get your chance to see a numbered card for your shot at $100 cash that we'll be giving away sometime on Tuesday. Details available at kgymradio.com. Mike Loss joining us as we get into college game week here at 3:36. Sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and we encourage you to read his stuff at thegazette.com, and as always, give him a follow on Twitter at Halas, H-L-A-S. As we get ready for a pretty darn big football game to kick off the year. Mike, thank you again for joining us. Appreciate it. And it's going to be
one. How you been?
I've been good. I've been busy but good, so thank you for asking. Hope you've been well. I know you had a little vacation, so that's you're ready to go. The batteries are recharged, right?
Not a bit.
Not a bit. Well, we're ready to go anyway.
You're laughing, but it's true.
I know. I've been there. I've been there, brother. But we got a pretty big game in Iowa City, not only Big Ten-wise, but really, I think we can say country-wise and nationally with Iowa and in Indiana going at it on Saturday.
Well, it's kind of an elimination game. The loser of Saturday's game falls totally out of the nation's consciousness, and the winner climbs up the ladder a little bit.
True.
Are you a believer in Indiana, Mike?
What's that?
Are you a believer in Indiana?
I don't know if they're the 17th best team in the country or not, but you know, they were 6-2 last year, just like Iowa, and they covered the spread in every single game, which some people find more important. They have two players who are second-team preseason All-Americans, both on the defensive side. A veteran quarterback, wide receiver is sensational. They've got a lot of good players. They've got a coach. They've got it's still a really new phenomenon that Illinois is even competent in football, but they have a coach in Tom Allen who seems to be one of those guys that players run through walls for figuratively. I've yet to see one do it actually, but he's very popular with his players. Their recruiting has been excellent the last couple of years, and they've brought in a bunch of transfers, including some from really high profile programs. So he connects with the modern-day player for whatever reason, and they play a very entertaining style of ball. And last year they beat Michigan, they beat Penn State, they beat Wisconsin. Whether it's something they sustain this year, I don't know. But for an opening opponent, it is vastly superior to any that Iowa's had in quite some time.
Penix was announced today that he will be the starter, and there's no doubt about that. You mentioned one of those transfers. Carr is going to be the starting tailback. He's a former five-star, whatever that means, who was signed and went to USC, now at Indiana. Mentioned the receiving core. They're just a lot of weapons on this Indiana team. And remember what they did last – I think it was last year when they knocked off Penn State in that opener.
Yeah, I mean, they're good. They're good. Now, last year to me, I'm still trying to figure out how much stock to put in it about anything. It was just so strange. And this is going to be the first time that some of these terrific Indiana players have been key players in front of 65 or 68,000 people on the road. Last year was played in empty stadiums with rosters that sometimes were depleted because of COVID and schedules that got interrupted in a lot of places. And it was just a very hard thing sort of to gauge, you know, until the playoffs when it was the same old, same old. But I take nothing away from what Indiana did last year. And the you know, foundation was laid the year before when they won 8 games. They've come a long way, and to get an opponent like this right out of the gates is real dangerous for Iowa because we know, like a lot of teams, Iowa doesn't play its best game in week one, and it certainly didn't last year. So the Hawkeyes are going to have to use that crowd to help them, you know, with their intensity, with their focus and sharpness and whatever. I think Iowa wins the game, but I look forward to it because it's, you know, it's a good opponent. It's not Montana or Maine. It's somebody that has a pedigree.
Let me flip the page, Mike. Season long, are you a believer in Iowa?
Yeah, I do. I think there's a lot of talent there, and I know everybody says, well, it's on Petras, it's on Petras. Well, sure it is. I think he's good enough, and I think that the rest of the team is good enough. I think the defense, even though the defensive line has got some proving to do, there's always some area defense where they've got proving to do, you know. But those defensive backs, all veterans, very good players. The linebacking group looks very good. The special teams guys, I think, are pretty good. And you got a receiver in Goodson, in Tracy, a running back in Goodson, a tight end in Laporta. Those are three big-time players. And then you've got Linderbaum, the center, who is, you know, consensus first-team All-America pick at the preseason stage. He was a second-team All-America last year. So you got a lot of good stuff there. And so, yeah, once again, to answer your question in a nutshell, I am. I do think they should be a good team, real good.
It is going to be different on Saturday. There's no doubt about it with people back. I would imagine it's going to be full or very close to being full anyway at Kinnick Stadium. Like you said, there are a handful and maybe even more, two handfuls of people, players that have never had that experience. Both sides of the football, to be honest with you. And it's the first game out. There's going to be some mistakes. And they always say coaches do. Whoever makes the least amount of mistakes in that first week is usually going to come out with a victory. I'm just looking forward to seeing how the players are going to react to having people in the stands again.
Yeah, I suppose it'll take a brief adjustment, but I've heard so many players and former players tell me over the years that when you're on the field in a game, you don't hear the crowd. It sounds impossible, and yet I think you can totally get it. So I don't know how much that means. I mean, I think from a butterflies aspect, yeah, it adds to that, and coming out of the tunnel and having 68,000 people cheer for you instead of basically silence is going to be a big difference. And just, you know, having a band and having this and having that, and it's the way that, you know, we've known it our whole lives, and it's the way we've expected it our whole lives. And my question, I guess, is will we still have it in November? You know, it's not really talked about a lot, but pandemic's not over yet, you know? And so I hope that it starts to wane again, and when it does, I hope it starts to wane for good, but boy, the knuckle dragging that's gone on. There's been a strong effort on these teams to get these players vaccinated, but even Iowa in the summer, it was 70%, and that means that 3 out of every 10 weren't. And those numbers have gone up, I guess, considerably since then. So, you know, the players are able to play the games. That, to me, that's all that matters. But they want to keep having, you know, capacity crowds. I think that's going to be kind of on the public.
Mike, as you know, through your many years of work, living up to expectations is maybe one of the toughest things to do. Expectations other people put on you or your team. And that is the case in Ames after a phenomenal season last year. Almost everybody returning, a top 10 team. And I guess that's the biggest challenge, is it not?
Yeah, I hear that, and you hear it all the time. I think that the biggest expectations these teams have, they put on themselves.
Yeah.
At some point, it all seeps in. But, I mean, look, there were big expectations last year on Alabama. You know,
which has been there before on
Ohio State, and that's got a lot to do with it. Being there before doesn't matter, but and you know, if you look at last year's AP Top 25 in the preseason, there are a lot of teams that didn't live up to expectations.
Mm-hmm.
From the Big Ten alone, you had Michigan, Wisconsin, Penn State, Minnesota. None of them. They were all in the top 25 at the beginning of the year, and none of them lived up to expectations. But, you know, again, I'm going to say last year was a weird year. But the thing is, you still play the games. The other teams are still good. You still have to play well. There's no guarantee you'll get through the thing healthy. And that you go from there. But I see a lot of talent on that Iowa State team. I think everybody does, which is the reason why they're number 7. You know, the last time that I hate to compare them to Iowa all the time, people do that. I'm sure it drives them crazy. But the last time Iowa was ranked as high as 7th in an AP preseason poll, 1985. Mm. So you're talking some rarefied air there. And none of it means anything if, you know, they lose Saturday to UNI. And they've been a bad week one team, not just last year when Louisiana came in and ran them out of their own stadium, but they went to triple overtime against UNI, I think, 2 years ago. And then they kind of were in a tussle with one of the Dakotas. I'm sorry, I don't remember which one, before the weather wiped it out. They need to play a good first game. It doesn't matter who they're playing. Play a good first game. You know, that thing with Louisiana set them back last year, and they crawled back a long ways up that ladder, but they got beat from pillar to post by that team. So play a good game against Northern Iowa and worry about the rest later. And I'm quite sure, having had that experience that they had last year, that they're quite aware of that.
Michael Oss joining us, sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette here at 3:48 on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Look in your crystal ball, and 5 years down the line, is Iowa State in the Big Ten?
No.
Okay.
But you know what? I could be wrong. I don't know what's going to happen. I know that right now it looks like the deck's stacked against Iowa State. It's these conferences, when it comes to expanding again, I mean, I think they'll be less inclined to carve up that pie in more slices. They've got plenty of teams. Now they just want to get fatter. But I look at Iowa State, though, and it's like they're going to average, whatever it is, 60,000 fans a game. They were 21st in attendance 2 years ago, the last season in which everybody had fans. 21st. They outdrew half the teams in the Big Ten and most of the teams in the ACC and the Pac-12. If they have a big year this year, and I mean a big year, not just a good year, they're going to, you know, force their way into the national consciousness. But what would they add for a conference in general? Well, I don't know. And there's a lot of time and a lot of screwy things can happen between now and whenever. And this alliance thing isn't going to take effect, you know, tomorrow. So I would keep hope alive, but I just think that, you know, it's not looking great. I'll say that.
Mike, Luca Garza and Joe Wieskamp both signed two-way deals with their respective NBA teams. Help me and others understand that. I've read that these guys can spend as many as 50 games in the NBA. Others say it's that's been relaxed. What does a two-way contract mean? Is that what's accurate, and is this a good thing for both or either players?
Well, it has been relaxed, but it's been relaxed so that two-way players can be on the active roster for up to 50 games.
Okay.
It used to be a very small number. What it means is that they probably spend most of their playing time with the G League affiliates, but they're members of their respective teams. It's not like they're isolated. Garza will be practicing with the Pistons all year, except if he should happen to play road games with their G League team. And that'll happen, you know, I'm sure some. Wieskamp will be based in San Antonio, practicing with the Spurs and, you know, similar deal. And then he'll play his G League games with their team in Austin. And they get the pay's prorated, so I believe they get half of the rookie standard deal for rookie minimum. So I think in both of their cases, as of now, that would mean around $500,000 a year. But they've got feet in the door.
Yeah.
They got drafted, and they are going to be on team. They have contracts. They're on teams. They know where they're going to be for the next year. They have a whole year to ingratiate themselves to the people who run those teams. And it's a start. It's the same start that Monte Morris had and George Niang. A lot of two-way guys never really go anywhere, but there are some who have. And you know, Niang and Morris both had contract, either free agent contracts or contract extensions. They are making the kind of money that you and I can only dream of.
Mm-hmm.
If we dream of such, you know, such materialistic things. I, you know, am more of a spiritual person, as you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. As you are.
Thank you.
I didn't want to put myself above you. We're our planes of existence are, well, they're pretty lofty. Let's face it.
Hey.
But I digress. Things turned out about as well as they could have hoped for Wieskamp and Garza compared to before the draft. I'll say that.
Yep, and Luka putting up great numbers in that summer league. No doubt about that.
Hey, yeah, I mean, that was an immediate start. That was Garza saying, I belong here. Now, you're doing it against summer league. You're not doing it against Joel Embiid or, you know. But nonetheless.
Make a statement.
One organization had him as a second-team all-summer league player, and that's 30 teams worth of players. So he did very well.
Hey, before we let you go, I know it's a long way in the offing, and we hope there's college football then, but going into Black Friday, Iowa, Nebraska, is Scott Frost A, already gone, B, a lame duck, or C, running for governor of Nebraska because he has won every game since losing last Saturday?
I don't know. I mean, I know it's pounce on Nebraska week. I watched that game, and, God, that wasn't very good football. I Illinois looked like it had at least a semblance of a plan. Nebraska did not, considering its talent and what it tried to do on offense. I didn't understand it. It's a good lesson for people. I was telling somebody this today. About a month after Frost got that Nebraska job, I drove to Lincoln for an Iowa-Nebraska basketball game. And there's sort of a shopping center / outdoor mall between Omaha and Lincoln, closer to Omaha. And it has one of those electronic video message boards, you know, so that if you're driving on I-80 at night, you can see it from probably several football fields away. And it was locked on the message, "Welcome home, Scott Frost." I get to Lincoln. I've got some time before the basketball game. I walk around downtown, go into one of those souvenir stores where they sell college crap. I mean items. And it was amazing to me how much stuff they had that had Frost's name on it, including his old college, you know, jerseys with his old college number and name. And it's like, this is cult-like, you know. They were so convinced that finally we got the right guy. Finally, he knows how we do things. He knows what Nebraska's all about, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, you want to see if he can win some games first?
True.
And they're still waiting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Enjoy the week, Mike. Thank you. As always, appreciate it. And we'll talk again soon.
All right, be good.
All right, Mike Loss, sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joining us here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And don't forget, as well, Todd and Alex coming your way next. And coaches' cuts starting again this week. They're going to be checking in with Kirk Ferentz and the coaches and players from the Iowa Hawkeyes. That'll be Tuesdays. It's brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, online at ncsei.com. Back to wrap things up after this.
You're upgrading your home, planning an incredible master bath and stunning open concept kitchen. But for the backyard deck, something square? Imagination shouldn't end at the back door. Go against the grain for truly inspired outdoor living with TimberTech. Experience design versatility and technological superiority to vastly improve your home improvement. Make your outdoor living space the place to be with TimberTech from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Sign up is open for the KGYM Knockout Pool, brought to you by I'm On Communications. If you're the last one standing at the end of the NFL regular season, you'll win $300 cash. Just sign up now at KGYMradio.com. Then pick your team each week, listen, and follow along here on the gym. Go for bragging rights and $300. Deadline is September 9th to get in. So go to KGYMradio.com and sign up now for the KGYM Knockout Pool. Brought to you by I'm On Communications.
That's coming up around the corner. Your chance to sign up available at KGYMradio.com. Tomorrow, Don Fisher, voice of the Indiana Hoosiers, will join us. And we'll get his opinion about Iowa and Indiana coming up on Saturday. Looking forward to that for the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Bishop Sycamore. Mark, you and I are trying not to be the Bishop Sycamore of local and national sports radio. Egg on the face of ESPN. Not so much. I'm not blaming ESPN, Mark. I am more blaming the marketing partner, Paragon, which set that game up. ESPN says, hey, go out and get us a few high school games. Probably try to get us the academies. You know, that's the way it goes. Bishop Sycamore, basically an online school that's just starting off in Columbus, Ohio, trying to play IMG Academy, and it did not go well.
I'd rather see two teams in Wyoming at the Class 1A level than I would these junior college teams?
They're
between
talent,
high school and college.
More
right?
talent than junior college teams. And that's not a knock against junior college teams. It's just IMG Academy has, a roster full of Division I players. And ESPN's kind of hearing about it today. And like I said, I don't think it's all you got to do if you're this marketing firm, just kind of do some homework, have a guy there doing some homework saying, I don't see anything about these guys. I don't. There are fake bios. There are fake Huddle account. I mean, this is crazy stuff. But anyway, hopefully it goes better the rest of the year. Mark, we'll talk tomorrow.
Look forward to it. Talk to you then.
All right. Todd and Alex coming your way next. KGYM.
Lots of places are hiring now, but Midwest Metal Products is where you want to be. Family owned for over 55 years, they have second and third shift production openings, painters and powder coaters, as well as several other positions.